May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Oops. Hang on to your hat. Our gospel reading takes on the appearance of a roller coaster ride. As we move from the classroom quiet of last week's parables to this week's near drowning of the disciples and others in the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's not just the shift in teaching methods that makes it difficult for us to find the heart of today's gospel. The miracle of the calming of the storm itself forces our 21st century skepticism defenses to rise up against the unexplainable. Furthermore, Jesus seemingly can't win for losing, as disciples, after Jesus does calm the storm, grumble and mutter, "Who is this guy who stops storms? Who does he think he is? God?" Well, duh. Yeah, that's exactly the point of the story. Jesus is God. How do we know Jesus is God? For that knowledge, we have to do more than merely suspend our disbelief toward the miraculous. We must accept the fact that creation existed long before our species was born and will continue long after our species disappears. In other words, it's not always about us. George Berkeley, the English bishop and philosopher, is among those who have contributed to what I call the heresy of anthropomorphism, or human-centered views of reality. A 19th century satirist whimsically expressed Berkeley's position in the following limerick. A philosopher pondered that God must find it exceedingly odd that a sycamore tree still continues to be when there's no one about in the quad. A few days later, another satirist countered, "Dear sir, your astonishment's odd. I am always about in the quad, and that's why the tree still continues to be, since observed by yours faithfully, God." Now, there are other more serious ways of exploring the mystery of the gospel to lower our anxieties about the miraculous. George Herbert, the great English priest and poet, opens one such door for us. In one of his poems, he writes, "A man that looks on glass, on it may stay his eye, or if he pleaseth, through it pass, and then the heaven espy." What I take from Herbert's verses is that we can look on the miracle of the calming of the storm as self-referential, that is to say, an event in itself, a startling display of the infinite power of God, who calms storms with less difficulty than we have in setting our alarm clocks. Our technology, symbolized by the boat the disciples are riding in, cannot save us. It's too easily overwhelmed by by the chaotic power of nature. Only God can save us from chaos. That would certainly be one valid way of approaching this story. Or we could, if it pleases us, look deeper into the meaning of the event to see what the story reveals about the nature of God. One place to look at what this story says about God is rooted in the Old Testament story of Job. Now, Job, you will recall, was particularly blessed by God. But Satan, seeking to undermine God's pleasure in his beloved children, accused Job of being self-serving in his love for God and his right behavior. So God allowed Satan to visit, to test the nature of Job's love by visiting all sorts of disasters and tragedies upon Job within certain specified limits. Now, the social and religious subtext of that time, and ours to a degree, implied that good people are blessed and bad people are cursed. As Job's life descended into literal hell on earth, his friends decided that he had somehow brought all these troubles upon himself through some sort of secret sins. Job, of course, denies such a simplistic version of his plight. And in the end, he even demands justice from God for his troubles. But God reminds Job that God is not accountable to Job, but that Job is accountable to God. Job simply doesn't know enough about God's purposes to ask the right questions, hurling one rhetorical question after another. God rephrases Job's question of theodicy, the question of why there is evil, into one of transcendence, the question of how finite human beings can understand the infinite nature of God. It's important to note that God neither condemns nor acquits Job in his reply. Later events do show that God vindicates Job's love without God giving a direct response. The questions we then have to investigate are not why bad things happen to good people, or even, as the disciples asked this morning, doesn't God care that we are perishing? The questions we are faced with are, why are we afraid? Have we still no faith? We will find the best answer to those questions by remembering who we are in relation to God. We are human, and God is God. We are accountable to God, and not God to us. When our Lord comes to calm the storms that we fearfully face, will we demand, who does this guy think he is? Or shall we say, Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.